A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Promised Prayers to Lord Krishna, Text Number 11. Kvaham tamo maharaham kacharagni varbu. Sambe sitando gata sapta vitasya karya. Svedrig vita viganitanda paramucharya. Vatandva roma virarasya chate mahitvam. Kva. Where? Aham, I, tamaha, the material nature, mahat, the total material energy, aham, false ego, kwa, I, ether, chara, air, agni, fire, vaha, water, bu, earth, samveshtita, surrounded by, andagata, a pot-like universe, saptavitasti, seven spans, kaya, body, kwa, where, Idrik, such, Vida, like, Avigānitya, unlimited, Anda, universes, para anu, like the atomic dust, Charya, moving, Vata andva, air holes, Roma, of hair on the body, Vivarasya, of the holes, Cha, also, Te, your, Vahitva, greatness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Actually, it is Prabhupada's purport in verse. So, what am I? A small creature, measuring seven spans of my own hand. So that's how big everyone is. Your seven spans of your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Confirmed. You must have small hands. Who am I? A small creature measuring seven spans in my own hand. I'm enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of material nature. The total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screen window. Purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Text 72, Srila Prabhupada gives the following purport for this verse. When Lord Brahma, after having stolen all Krishna's cows and coward boys, returned and saw that the cows and boys were still roaming with Krishna, he offered this prayer in his defeat. A conditioned soul, even one so great as Brahma, who manages the affairs of the entire universe, cannot compare it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For he can produce numberless universes simply by the spiritual rays emanating from the pores of his body. Material scientists who take lessons from the utterances of Sri Brahma regarding our insignificance in comparison with God. In these prayers of Brahma, there is much to learn for those who are falsely puffed up by the accumulation of power. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Volume 1, Chapter 14, Srila Prabhupada further comments on this verse. Lord Brahma realized his actual position. He is certainly the supreme teacher of this universe, in charge of the production of material nature, which consists of the complete material elements, false ego, sky, air, fire, water, and earth. Such a universe may be gigantic, but it can be measured, just as we measure our body as 7 spans. Generally, everyone's personal bodily measurement is calculated to be 7 spans of his hand. This material universe may appear to be a very gigantic body, but is nothing but the measurement of 7 spans from Brahma. Aside from this universe, there are unlimited other universes outside the jurisdiction of this particular Lord Brahma. Just as innumerable atomic infinitesimal fragments pass through the holes of a screen window, so millions and trillions of universes in their seedling form are coming out from the Vali pores of Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu is but a part of the plenary expansion of Krishna. Under these circumstances, although the Brahma is the supreme creature within this universe, what is his importance in the presence of Lord Krishna? What am I, a small creature, measuring 7 spans in my own hand? I am enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of material nature. The total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the opening of a screen window. As part of the Chatur Sloki verses of Bhagavad Gita, beginning with chapter 10, the opulence of the Absolute, text number 8, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Pravo, Patak Saram Pravartate, Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. Aham means I. Sarvasya, everything. Pravo generates from me. So whatever we see is an expansion of Krishna energy. Matak sarvam pravartate. So, matak sarvam pravartate. What does that mean? Pravartate. Everything emanates from me. Iti matva bhajante mam. The wise who know this perfectly. Iti matva bhajante mam, engage my devotional service, and iti matva bhajante Buddha bhava samanvitaha. Bhava samanvitaha means they pay complete attention to me. In other words, Prabhupada writes, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. Our first business is to focus our attention on Krishna, and there's a lot to pay attention to. As Krishna says, Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Sattvam, Srimad Vajitam Eva Cha, Tat Tat Eva Vagacha Tvam, Vamatai Tangsha Sambhavam, Ataiva Bhavana Teina, Kim Gyatena Twarjuna, Ishtabraham idam kritsnam ekam stanis to tojaga. But what is there for all this detailed knowledge, O Arjuna? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire creation. Know that all glorious and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. So everything we're seeing that people are worshipping, that they're attracted to, It's just a tiny fragment, infinitesimal fragment of Krishna's energy. Now, if that's true, then how can one avoid becoming attracted to Krishna? Because everything we're attracted to in this world is just an infinitesimal fragment of Krishna. Therefore, if one is actually becomes conscious of Krishna, then one will be attracted to Krishna, undoubtedly. The only problem is that we're envious of everyone and everything. And because we're envious, we're not really attracted to anyone or anything except for ourselves. But then again, we're even envious of ourselves. Because if we hear about that we're eternal, people become envious. They become very disturbed. Why should I be eternal? Because they think if I'm eternal, that means that I'm responsible for my activities, but I don't want to be responsible for my activities. I want to imagine that I can go on doing whatever I'm doing, and there's not going to be any reaction, either in this life or in the next. So we find out that we're not this body, and that we're eternal, that's bad enough, because that means I have to take another body, and I have to suffer the reactions of my work. And even worse than that is to find out that there's the person who's controlling the whole thing. Automatically one becomes angry at that person. Why did you give me a bad deal? I'm a good person. Why did you put me into difficulty? If you're controlling everything, why don't you make everyone happy? Why are you so mean? Why are you lording it over everyone? Why don't you relax and let everyone be happy? So people don't understand how Krishna is controlling things and how we have free will. Many times people think if something good happens, it's due to their prowess. If something bad happens, it's due to fate. Therefore, Amadi Dvam Adamdi Dvam Ahingsa Shanti Arjavam Acharya Pasanam Socham Stiryam Atma Vinigraha. Our first business is to understand how great Krishna is and how he's great. Srinada Pisa Nichena. Because without understanding that, then we'll be angry with God. Or we'll deny his existence. Either we'll become materialists, praying to God for some material advancement, or we'll become impersonalists, that everything is illusion except for me. I'm the reality. Either complete denial of God, thinking oneself to be the supreme, or angry with God. Frustration. As it says, Vita Raga Vaya Krodha Manmaya Mamupashita Bahava Gyana Tapasa Putamadvavam Agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger. So, due to attachment, we think that there's nothing beyond the material energy. This is it. Everything is material. People are material. My body is material, I'm material, everything is material. Therefore, such persons, they admire a big mountain, but they don't admire the person who created the mountain. They admire the painting of material nature, the artistry behind it, but the painter, they have no regard for. Imagine if you saw a famous painting like Leonardo da Vinci's painting. What's the name of the painting? Mona Lisa. And someone said, isn't that a nice painting? You say, yeah, sure. Leonardo da Vinci, he painted it. I don't believe it. I don't believe anyone painted it. It just happened that way. It just came about. know which is more important, the painter or the painting. So we admire the painting and the material energy, taking it all for granted that it just came about without a painter, without a person behind it. And the scientists, they claim it all came practically out of nothing. But if it came out of nothing, which is not very much, I mean, everyone could get has at least something of nothing. So it all came out of nothing. Why don't they take nothing and make something more out of it? If they already figured out it came out of nothing, why don't they create something out of the nothing themselves? But they don't believe that. Actually, they don't believe in chance. Because otherwise they'd sit at home and by chance they get their PhD, they wait for to get their PhD by chance. Why do they go to school and work so hard to try to get their PhD? If everything comes about by chance, why can't they get an insignificant degree, like a PhD degree, just by chance? Why do they work so hard to make money? If everything came about by chance, why doesn't the money just fall from the sky by chance? They don't believe in chance. That's therefore they endeavor whatever they want, they endeavor for. They create a little satellite, supposedly goes around the Earth, and they're so proud about it. But when they see unlimited planets moving in an orbit exactly on time, they say it's all by chance. So why don't a little child, he's taking his tests in school, and they say, who created the satellite? And he writes down, it came about by chance. Will they pass him? Oh, very intelligent. We never thought about that. No, he'll get a zero in his test. Because he should know where the satellite came from. But for the whole creation, if they say, where did the creation come from in your physics class? And you write down from Krishna, you'll fail. Because the answer is by chance. So is that logical? No, of course it's not logical. Is it reasonable? No, it's not reasonable. Because the people running the society are neither logical nor reasonable. Because they want to claim that they themselves are responsible for everything. They themselves are the source of everything. They're the source of the imagination about everything. But nothing more than that. The only thing big about them is their false ego. And similarly for all of us, with a logically understanding that everything is coming from Krishna, we should understand in comparison to Krishna, we're all insignificant. How can anyone be proud of their material assets if they don't belong to oneself? If all our ability, all our assets, all are emanating from Krishna, and he's simply creating them out of our, as a response to our desire. So how can we take the ultimate credit for anything? Because everything comes from Krishna. Even Krishna says, remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness come from me. So whatever we can remember is by the mercy of Krishna. And whatever we forget is also Krishna's mercy. And whatever our conception of life is, that's our Krishna's mercy. According to our desire, Krishna is supplying us. For the atheist who wants to forget Krishna, Krishna gives him all kinds of forgetfulness, so he never remembers Krishna. And he's remembering everything about Krishna. And his knowledge doesn't include anything about Krishna in it. And for the devotee, Krishna helps the devotee remember him and forget about everything else. And his knowledge is only about Krishna. Everything in relation to Krishna. So that's our decision, whether we want to understand how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, how Krishna is controlling everything and how he is controlling everything, or we want to forget Krishna. And immediately we imagine ourselves to be independent there's no two ways of doing it. Dvalimo purusho loke shara akshra evacha shara sarvani bhutani kutastha shuruchite. There are two types of created beings, the fallible and the infallible. In this world, everyone is called fallible, and in the spiritual world, everyone is infallible. So spiritual consciousness means to see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. If you see the sunlight and claim that there's no sun, it's not a very intelligent perception. So if we look at anything, we claim there's has no connection with Krishna, there's no source, it's not very intelligent. And to think the sunlight can move without the sun is ridiculous. The sunlight decided to become independent and go on vacation for a while and left the sun. Therefore, the sun has nothing to do with the sunlight anymore. It's separated. No, it's not possible that there can be any sunlight without the sun. And if there's sunlight, there must be sun. So that's called Krishna consciousness. And therefore, whatever we think about apart from Krishna, it means we're simply imagining that there's something of the sunlight without the sun, or there's something about the sun without sunlight. Therefore, Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. If one studies about Krishna, then one will naturally come to the conclusion that there is no one and nothing separated from Krishna, and therefore one will take shelter of Krishna and inquire from Krishna, what would you like me to do with your energy? It's only because we're not inquiring what Krishna wants us to do with his energy, how he wants us to speak, how he wants us to utilize our senses in his service, how he wants us to think, how he wants us to understand things. It's only because we don't endeavor to do that, therefore we imagine things are apart from Krishna. And we wind up being fearful, what's going to happen? Although we know what's going to happen. It's already happening. It's not going to happen. It's already happening. As soon as we take birth, everything changes. As a matter of fact, whether we took birth or not, everything's constantly changing in the universe. Krishna as his expansion, Mahavishnu lies down in the ocean, in the causal ocean, and from him emanates, here it says rays. Sometimes we think that there's big balls in Mahavishnu's body, and kind of like like a shotgun. He shoots out the universes. But here it says the rays, because after all, everything is a transformation of Brahman. From Brahman comes the false ego. From the false ego comes the mind and the intelligence and the senses, etc. So everything we're seeing is actually rays of Krishna transformed in different ways. So therefore, some of the transformation is heat, some of it is movement, some of it is different things. But it's all, in other words, in Krishna's effulgence, there's potential for everything. Just like in the sunlight, there's potential for heat and light. And from the heat comes things like from when it gets too hot, then water appears. And water becomes solidified, it's called earth. So even in our own experience, from sunlight, we can see that sometimes water is appearing. And from the water comes solid things. And on the other side, there's the subtle, from the fire comes the subtle air, movement. Fire, when fire moves, it causes things like water to evaporate, or it causes movement, generates movement. So then we have air. And air is situated within space, ether, and therefore, from Krishna's effulgence, all these different elements are generated. And we imagine that they're somehow or another separate from Krishna. But they're all manifested and continue to be manifested simply on the basis of Krishna's effulgence, his rays, his energy. Therefore, one should recognize that these energies are meant to be engaged in Krishna's service. And if we do that, then Krishna reveals himself. Otherwise, if we want to imagine that we're in a world, a playground, and all these things are little playthings for us just to enjoy, and that's what we work as, and Krishna simply hides himself from us. Material nature covers us and allows us and forces us to play around with this material energy, just like a little girl plays around with dolls, imagining that they're real. She has her little plastic kitchen, and she's cooking plastic chapatis and offering them to her plastic friends. And imagine it's all real. And the mother comes along and says, it's time for lunch. She said, well, I already ate. What did you eat? Well, I cooked some plastic chapatis. I had plastic sabji. Didn't taste very good, but I enjoyed it because I cooked it. So Krishna is inviting us to the real meal. Otherwise, we have to stay here and eat the plastic. We don't offer it to Krishna. So one should be a little humble and realize that we're all dependent upon Krishna. And compared to Krishna, we're all insignificant. It's not that I got an A in the test and therefore I'm smart. And you only got a B, you're not so smart. No, we're all foolish because we came to the material world. We're all less intelligent. And the only intelligent person is gets out of this place. That's what intelligence is. And goes back to spiritual consciousness, or at least to the spiritual world. That's intelligence. Everything else is foolish. Trying to figure out how to play around with the transformation of Krishna's rays and imagine it's real, that this is actually real life. It's just a dreamlike state. We're imagining what's going on, but we don't really know anything. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Right here.
I'm thinking about this when you said about self and everything celibate. So obviously to trace the history when we came here, because we are here in this material world from time immemorial. So and I was also reading a conversation of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. He was saying devotees were asking about this thing, that since when we are here, and you know, this like this, and Prabhupada said that it's like if you are in a house and if it catches the fire, so you will quickly get out of the house. It's not that you will, how the fire came here and things like that. So we should get out of this material world. But I'm just curious to know that I also heard that we all were in the spiritual world, and because we wanted to enjoy and get away from Krishna, because that's why we are here in this material world. So I'm just thinking that how if the souls are actually in the spiritual world, and since they are infallible, then how it is possible that they can actually come?
They have free will. I mean, we can't exist apart from Krishna, that's for sure. Exactly what it means that we're in the spiritual world, it's probably that we shouldn't worry about that, because it's inconceivable to us at the present moment. So the fact is, we can't exist without Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Itvevaham jatunaham, natveme nanijana adipa, nichaiva napavishama, sarvevayama takpuram. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So the fact is that we're eternal. We have nothing to do with the material energy. although we're judging time by the changes in the material energy, but we have nothing to do with it because we're transcendental to it. So if we're transcendental to the material energy, therefore there's no question of time for the soul. The soul exists eternally. And Krishna exists eternally also. And Krishna is everywhere. So there's no possibility of our existing apart from Krishna. So we've always been with Krishna. It's not possible to be outside of Krishna. So exactly what our relation with Krishna was before we came to this world of illusion, thinking ourselves to be part of a temporary situation, that we'll find out when we're liberated, when we become Krishna conscious. But right now, we're absorbed in this material energy. We're not even aware of our eternality. We're not aware of Krishna. So what can we understand under these circumstances? We're just caught up in material consciousness, material knowledge.
So in short, it's freedom.
What's that?
In short, it's the freedom.
Free will. Yeah, of course it's free. Anything else? I mean, we can choose to be an illusion, imagining ourselves to be something other than the eternal related soul in relation to Krishna. Or we're going to accept that we're eternally related to Krishna. That's all. That's our free will. Anything else?
I think it's too long for the time that's left.
Can you shorten it? You're going away question.
I'm not sure I can shorten it. I've been thinking for a few minutes how to shorten it, and I cannot do it. So the idea is about admiring the painter and not just the painting. And I was thinking that, for example, I like going out in nature, seeing gardens and parks and admiring and so on. And I was told by devotees that this is a material thing, because it's basically that you go and enjoy seeing the parks and the garden and so on. And I was thinking, like, for example, we use all sorts of material things in the service for Krishna, and Prabhupada said that by doing that, it's like we spiritualize them in a way. But I'm thinking just going and admiring nature, we are not actually using it for Krishna. So in the end, is it sense gratification or not? Or
depends.
Even if we think that Krishna created it.
Then if you remember Krishna, how can it be sense gratification? Then you're Krishna conscious.
Because you're all also enjoying.
You're supposed to suffer? Where in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says,
I don't know, but some people mind if you enjoy even a little.
So the question is, who do you want to serve? Who do you want to accept as an authority? Some people or Krishna?
Well, I was told this by devotees whom I consider
aspiring devotees. We should find out from the real devotee, Prabhupada, what he thinks. And he repeats what Krishna says. Aham sarvasya prava matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. From me the entire creation flows. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. They pay complete attention to me. So Prabhupada once wrote to a Gurukul student, thank you very much for your math that you sent me. But you should know this math. Just like 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, so Krishna plus anywhere is equal to Vrindavan. So if you always remember Krishna, then you'll always be in Vrindavan. Why does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita, of the mountains I am the Himalayas, of the animals I'm the shark, why does he bother going over all these things? If it, you know, it's all Maya and sense gratification. You look at the mountains like the Himalayas, you think this is Krishna's energy, it's wonderful. And that sense gratification, Krishna says, this is me. So that's what we're supposed to do. Even Prabhupada said, if a drunkard understands rasoham of snukantiya, that I'm the taste in this wine, Then after some time, he'll become a great devotee by drinking wine. He realizes that Krishna is a taste.
So is there a point where we draw the line?
Yeah, you can draw the line somewhere.
It is like, you know, from this point on is that sense gratification, and it's
well,
not
if you,
just that you remember Krishna and you use this for sense gratification, for also enjoying.
Well, if you go to the park and you go and smell all the flowers, if you understand it's Krishna's flowers and you pick the flowers and bring them to the deity and let him smell them first, then it's prasadam. But we try to enjoy outside of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that we go to the store and we offer the whole store to Krishna and that we eat as much as we want. It means we understand it's related to Krishna and we utilize it for Krishna. We try to see how, you know, but, you know, also admire it in relation to Krishna. It's the neutrality, it's in the neutral mode. That's also service. But we don't go there and start smelling all the flowers and decorating our hair with it, whatever. No, we decorate Krishna with them.
Thank you.
Anything else? Kala Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.